You're listening to Unveiling Mormonism from PursueGod.org.
So, Alec, you're on TikTok, okay? And one of the things you recently started talking about is your transition from Mormon to Christianity. Tell us a little bit about why you feel so strongly about sharing that.
Yeah, that's a great question, because it's the first time I've publicly shared about my transition from Mormonism to Christianity. I follow some really good accounts on TikTok that deconstruct Mormonism and have really good information as far as that goes. But I have yet to find, well, I'm sure they're out there, but I haven't found one that someone goes from Mormonism to Christianity. All the ones that I have like been attracted to or have popped up on my feed are ones that, you know, they deconstruct Mormonism and kind of stop there. And it's very much agnostic, even atheist based. And I felt convicted in some way to share my personal experience with coming out of Mormonism and converting to Christianity, because it's a huge part of my life. And I think a lot of people, I thought a lot of people could relate to it, especially living in Utah. A lot of my friends are still in the church, and so I'm really careful about what I say. I always want to keep it respectful, but I felt like I could help some people by sharing my personal experience with it. And so I ran with it, and my very first video got a very strong response. Some debate in the comments, a lot of debate in the comments actually, but it was really good. It was really nice for me to put it out there, like in my own words. But yeah, that's basically why I started sharing on TikTok, is to relate with other people and to have really good dialogue about Christianity. I think it can be a really good faith building experience, because I do feel like it's such a journey and I'm on the journey continually. So
the comments you're getting on TikTok, are they from people who are really strongly atheistic, or is it from Mormons who are trying to pull people back into the Mormon church?
Mainly it's from what I have read is people relating. For the most part, it's been really positive, but there's a lot of active Mormons that comment opposing the words that I say, or saying that that's not true. We actually do believe in the Jesus of the Bible, and yeah, basically trying to rebuttal what I say.
Yeah, I think my observation is the reason a lot of people leave Mormonism and then don't even try Christianity is because I think a lot of Mormons think that Mormonism is Christianity. So they're like, well, why, you know, Mormons are, they didn't used to say this 20 years ago, but these days they say Mormons are Christians. And so, so if I leave Mormonism, I'm leaving Christianity. I'm not even going to give it a chance, even though a Christian church and the Christian doctrine and the Christian faith and culture and everything is so, so incredibly different, wouldn't you say, than Mormonism?
Oh my gosh. It is so different. And in fact, I often get like, are Mormons Christian? Are Mormons Christian? And I actually did a video on if Mormons are Christian. And in the video, I explicitly say, like, I don't have the authority to judge if someone's a Christian or not. That's a very personal walk. But what I will say is some of the differences between the doctrine in Mormonism and the doctrine in Christianity, and they're vastly, vastly different. And that's where a lot of the debate comes with the very active Mormon members, you know, trying to have these commonalities with Christianity. And when it comes down to the foundation of their doctrine, it just is so much different, but they just don't see it that way. And so, yeah, you're right. I think that it, I mean, obviously deconstructing a high demand religion comes with a lot of different emotions and maybe a different time frame for each person, and how they reconstruct is probably different from person to person. But yeah, it is very different to answer your question.
Yeah, and not just doctrinally, but even culturally. We'll get into that maybe in just a little bit. But first, let's go back to your story. So Alec, tell us a little bit about like the family you were born into and your experience in Mormonism, and then like how it all started to unravel for you, or maybe be unveiled for you.
Sure. I was born and raised in the Mormon church. I was born in Utah. We moved to Washington a few years later. So I was an active Mormon in a different state, which everyone says is a lot different when you're Mormon in a different state. I was young. I was too young to really experience that. But have you heard that, Brian, that like the Mormon religion is different when it's outside of
Utah? Oh, for
Utah?
Sure. Yeah. And really, the Utah Mormons, they'll say, well, actually, it's the non-Utah Mormons that meet Utah Mormons usually that say it more than anything
yeah.
else. Like, yeah,
yes.
Utah Mormons. And it's probably like a being a Baptist in, you know, in Oklahoma. It's like when everyone's a Baptist, it tends to be a cultural thing. You
yes.
know, when if you're a Mormon in Washington, you're not surrounded by Mormons. And so,
yeah.
You know, I had Mormon friends growing up in Chicago who were really in like very thoughtful, diehard Mormons because mm-hmm. they had to be, you know, they were different from everyone around
totally.
Them.
Totally.
Utah Mormons can, I think, can take things for granted.
100%. Yeah. So I didn't really feel the effects of that as like a kid, but then we moved back to Utah when I was about 9 and continued our faith in Mormonism here in Utah. And so it was very culturally accepted, obviously, and it helped that pretty much every one of my friends shared the same faith as me. My family was very active, and it was Mormonism all the way. There was no other belief system in our home. So yeah, we were just very active, and I believed every single thing that I was taught. I still am a little bit wired like that, like just not believing everything that I am taught, but very black and white thinking, mm-hmm. Right and wrong. Like there was really no shade of gray. Like if they said not to do something, I did not do something. If they said to do something, I did that. And if I didn't do it perfectly, then that was a problem. And I felt a lot of guilt for things. And, but I believed it 100%. And, in the home, like I feel like I grew up in a fairly strict home, not too bad, but like pretty strict. And we did all of the Mormon tradition as far as like family home evening, young men, young women, seminary. My dad would do personal priesthood interviews with us a couple times a month, make sure everything was going.
You got to explain that. I don't think we've covered that on the podcast. What does that mean? Personal priesthood. That sounds really intense. What does that mean?
So we called it PPIs in our home, and it stood for personal priesthood interview. So my dad, and maybe this isn't like something the Mormon church does, but it's definitely something my family did. So my dad,
your dad might have made it up.
Yeah. Cause my dad, it would just be my dad that would sit us down and essentially have a meeting with us one-on-one, like once or twice a month.
Wow. What kind of stuff would you talk about?
It varied. Sometimes it was more formal than others. What we could work on, you know, any like moral based issues, scripture based. It was, yeah. But growing up, I had fond memories of them. I never like dreaded them or anything. My dad was pretty good about, I don't know, just making us feel, to be honest with you, I don't I don't remember it ever being like a negative thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's your in the Mormon church, the a good Mormon dad who's checking all the boxes and doing all the stuff, like
Yes.
he has priesthood authority, right? He
Yes. Yeah.
and so it makes sense that I've never heard the term, but it makes sense as a personal priesthood interview. It's not just a dad talk. It's like, no, this is a priesthood talk. I'm a priesthood holder, right? So
Yeah.
it's kind of like what maybe anyone else would experience with just a good dad trying to have a good conversation, but it carries a little more weight maybe, and
Yeah.
it maybe feels a little bit
Totally.
more intense than just, a daddy, like we would with my daughter, I would have like daddy daughter dates
Yes.
and probably
Yeah.
similar to a personal priesthood interview.
Maybe a little more fun, but so yeah, and I got my patriarchal blessing at 16, and that was really special for me at the time. And yeah, truthfully, I thought there was no other church out there that could ever be more true or even remotely true compared to Mormonism.
So, okay, let's pause. So, let me just, so for the sake of our listeners, so you were a good Mormon. You were not like looking for an out. You weren't like itching to drink coffee or beer or get out of your
No.
Mormon underwear. Like
Oh, no.
you were a good Mormon, and a lot of that probably is because your dad was a good Mormon,
That's a loaded question.
right?
So now come to find out, and this has been interesting to look back on. My dad was kind of non-believing for quite a while before he was ever open about it. Like years and years and years is what he has said to me. And that's really confusing for me because we did everything right. Like he was so good at checking all the boxes that I would have never guessed that he questioned anything. And I have even been like, Dad, what? Like, you let us go along with it for that long, even though, and he just did the best that he could. Honestly, that's what it comes down to. He is like, sure, like I probably could have done things a lot better, but I did the best that I could. I mean, that was your guys's community, and I didn't want to my questions to affect my children or my marriage. And I know a lot of people are silently questioning. I know that that's a really hard place to be at. So I definitely give him grace for that. But at first I was like, what? Like you totally, did you fake that all? I'm so confused, because they would go to the temple all the time. And yeah, they were such great Mormons. Never drank coffee. I never even really saw coffee that much. Like I never really saw alcohol or anything like that. Like I feel like, yeah, I was never searching for anything else. I never had desire to drink or party or like be promiscuous. I wanted to follow all the rules and be pretty much as perfect as I could be without being God.
That's a good description of Mormonism, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
yes. And especially because I do have OCD, and a lot of it manifested with like scrupulosity type OCD, where like it was very much a perfectionist type mentality, if that makes sense. Moral based issues type of stuff. Not sure if you've ever heard of that
Yeah, for sure.
before.
I think that's a thing for any young person. It can certainly be a thing, but I think in Mormonism, it's like you're adding a spiritual component to it on top of it.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go back, Alec, to when you're 16 and you get the patriarchal blessing. So where did it all start going wrong for you and
Yeah.
maybe even your whole family?
Yeah. So at the time, church was 3 hours. So, and at like sometimes sacrament would be first, but at this particular, during this era, it was last. So, we would go to the first 2 hours, which is like individual classes, and then you go to sacrament with your family. And so we would all go to church, as far as we knew. But a few of the times, like this was now, I got my patriarchal blessing at 16, and it wasn't until I was about almost 18, maybe 17, that there were a few times my parents would show up late to sacrament. And the first time it was like, what? Where were you guys? And I'm sure they just, I don't remember what they said, but the second time and like the third time, I was like, okay, really, where were you guys? Because I could tell that they were like coming in from somewhere else. It wasn't like they were just in the halls talking to people. Like they were coming from somewhere else. And they told us that they were going to a Christian church, like another church. And I flipped out. I was like, what are you kidding? I had no idea that this was happening. I had no idea that this was even a thought in their head. And in my little brain, that was very, very, very wrong and very scary.
Now,
And
why? Okay,
so,
hold on. Let me pause for a second, Alec. This will be good for our listeners. In your, you're what, like 16, 18, something like that?
like 17,
17.
probably.
Okay. In your 17-year-old brain, why is that wrong? Why? We just talked about this, that Mormons say that they're Christians. So,
Yeah.
you know what I'm saying?
Well,
Like
I
if,
do know what you're saying.
yeah, like if I drop my kids off at the Baptist church and went to the, non-denominational church, no big deal. We're all
No
going to
big deal.
church, right? Why is it a big
Right.
deal then in your brain? Are you saying that you didn't really believe that Mormons were Christians, or are you saying you didn't believe that Christians were Christians?
Well, here's the deal, is even when I was Mormon, I considered myself Christian. Like even way back then, I don't know when they started saying that, but I believed that I was like fully Christian. But we believed as Mormons that we are the only true church. We have the fullness of the gospel, essentially. Like no other church has a restored gospel.
So in other words, would you say if you like if I'm talking to 17-year-old Alec and be totally honest, like so do you think
Okay.
that like do you think that Christian, non-denominational Christians aren't really Christians then?
No, I wouldn't. Well, I never really thought about that.
Yeah, okay.
I never really thought about that. But I did think that we were more true than them,
I
if
see.
that makes sense.
Yeah.
They weren't as high as we were
Yeah, can I
in my
put
eyes.
can I just say something to our audience here, just a little teaching moment here. If you go to a church, I don't care what the church name is, if you go to a church that says we're the only true church, you're probably in a cult. I mean,
You're very, I
seriously.
think you're spot on with that.
I see like again, right? Because Alec, maybe we can answer this at the end. Like now that you go to Alpine Church, and maybe we can talk about how we would talk about that. But we don't think Alpine's the only, like if somebody goes to the next church down the street, if they're for whatever reason decide to go to the Baptist church, we're like, okay, God bless you. That's great. Go learn about Jesus there. That's great. We're not,
Yes.
we don't have a corner on the truth. Like we, and maybe, maybe a really good Mormon listening to this is like, exactly, because you don't,
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
no, we believe that any Bible believing church, any Jesus centered church is great. But
Yeah.
what you're saying is, as a 17-year-old Mormon, you thought, well, no, actually, the Mormon church is the only true church because you had the restored gospel.
100%. Well, and if you think about it, whoo, I'm gonna try not to get too like heated here, but when you think about it, like we are the only truth. And if you are not one of us, you are not saved. You cannot go to the celestial kingdom and be together eternally with your family unless you are Mormon. And probably, like, you also have to be, there's other things that you have to do as well. But that saying that, like, we are a more true church than any other church out there.
Okay, so when
because of
your
the restored gospel.
right, so when your parents came in, this was a bombshell for you, because it
Huge.
wasn't just that you guys weren't going to the same church building on Sunday morning.
No.
Like your eternity, Emma, is this an overstatement? Your eternity was at stake?
Oh my gosh, of course it was. Yeah, of course, because like I'm going to the celestial kingdom and I want my parents to go there too. And if they're exploring another church, then that's risking everything. That's risking your entire eternal family.
Okay,
That's
so
why it's so devastating for someone to like leave the church on their own, like by themselves, and everyone else is still Mormon, because it's like, oh shoot, like there goes him or there goes her. You know, it breaks up the family in our eyes.
For the Mormon listeners who are having a panic attack right now because you know just what Alec's talking about, just keep listening to the end
Okay, yes.
because Alec will make sure to get here to the end at some point, but this is such a
Yeah,
great
sorry.
story. No, we're not going to rush there, but I want to make sure our listeners know that Alec, you understand a different reality now. But let's not get there yet. Let's go back to 17-year-old Alec. You're freaking out at your parents, right? Because they finally tell you that they've been going to another church. How did they respond when you freaked out?
Oh, they were great. I think they were expecting it, honestly. And they didn't give much information. And I'm a person that asks a lot of questions, and I like to know things. And so I wasn't like asked. I was kind of just scared at the start, like, oh my gosh, they're going to a new church. What does that mean? What does that look like? But I didn't want to know things at first. Like, I didn't want to go to church with them. I just wanted everything to stay the same. So at first, I was probably like not wanting to ask so many questions because I didn't want probably my faith to be shaken. And then I started finding like Starbucks cups in the car. And I was like, what is this? And they started drinking green tea,
Is that a
which is a
no?
no-no.
That's a no-no. Okay.
I mean, it's not as bad as coffee, at least in my head at that time. It was tea, it wasn't herbal tea, which we were allowed to drink. It was green tea, which is a part of like the black tea family. And you're not allowed to drink black tea or anything like that. So I started questioning their tea drinking habits, and I was like, what is this? And they're like, this is called green tea, like wheat, you know. And I'm sure they just explained. So I think like little doses that they would give me, I would probably just kind of store in my head for later. And so eventually, I don't know how this happened. I can't remember. They were so great not to share like any info unless I asked. And if I did ask, they wouldn't just like give it to me straight. They would like refer me to a source, or you know, we'd have like a meeting or something about it, and we'd talk about it and everything. But it was in very small doses. Eventually, I was okay going to a night service with them. At Washington Heights Baptist Church. And that was my very first time in another church.
Now, were they just like gently inviting you, or were they really encouraging you to check it out? Like, what was their perspective as parents?
More along the lines of, if you want to come, like you totally can. You don't have to if you don't want to. But I'm going to be honest, like their influence initially influenced me, I would say, because once you kind of open the door to other things, it then it just kind of spirals, right? And so some of the question, well, at first I was like, why are you going to another church? And their answer was, we need more Jesus. We don't want to be sitting in church on Christmas Eve learning about Joseph Smith. Like, we need just Jesus, you know? And so I was like, okay, that's fair. Okay, like I can get behind that. And then it was then I was okay going to like a night service with them. I felt ready to do that. I was intrigued, and it was great. It was great. They had like good music. I saw families like sitting together. There was like coffee. There was, I mean, it was like
Wait, was that a good thing that there was
it.
coffee? Or were you
I
still
was prepared for it.
you weren't judgmental about it at that point?
No, because my parents were now tea drinkers. So then I was like, okay, like I don't know. It was so, I was 17, so I just remember being ready to go to church. I was prepared for there to be coffee, and I went in very open-minded.
That seems like a turnaround. Maybe we could, this might be good for parents who are listening to this. I know a lot of parents who have come out of Mormonism and they have junior high or high school kids and they're trying to be good parents without like blowing up their whole world. Like, so what do you, for those parents who are in that place, what would you recommend based on your experience? Because it apparently your parents must have done a pretty good job with that.
They did, and I was older, right? So I was like a senior in high school. I don't know what it would be like. I guess my sister was, if I was 17, she'd be 9, so she was a little bit younger. And she's thriving in her Christian life, and
Was it
you
e
know,
do you think it was easier or harder for her, a 9-year-old
easier.
compared? Yeah, that's what I would have thought too.
1,000% easier.
Yeah, I would have thought like a die hard, like a super rule following black and white 17-year-old Mormon. I think that's probably a really hard age for your
It
parents
was
to
so
leave.
hard. And especially because at that age, friends are everything to you. Like, and every single one of my friends was Mormon. And so it was really hard socially for me. Good. I think it was good. It helped me grow a lot in my confidence and like boundaries and going against the grain. But 1,000%, if there's parents out there that are wanting to preserve their children's like well-being, I hear you and I empathize with that so much. But if you're holding on because of your kids, you're doing them a disservice. I'm just going to be honest, because there's so much growth that happens on the other side, and I would not trade it for the world. So there's so much good on the other side. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard, and there's adjustments, and it's a process, and I don't think you'll ever reach like a destination. At least I haven't. Well, I'm saying as far as like your spiritual journey should never just stop. But it allows for your children to be open-minded and to see different perspectives. And I hear that a lot. Like, oh, we have kids and we really don't want to like ruin anything for them. And it couldn't be further from the truth. In fact, yeah, you just gotta do it.
So, okay.
Honestly.
So let's go back. You go to the Baptist church service in the evening. Were you kind of doing both? Were you going to the Baptist thing sometimes and still going to the Mormon thing for the social part of it? And how long did that last?
So, yeah, I started meeting with the pastor of that church, because my parents were meeting with him too. So after going to that church, I had a lot of questions. That kind of opened the door for me, honestly, because I remember I started meeting with the pastor there, and I started meeting with my bishop at the same time. And I wanted to ask all the questions now that I was allowed to, and like felt free to do that. And I did. So this was maybe, let me try and think of like the full time frame of going to that church. It was probably, I would say all in all, it was probably a year of like doing both. But it didn't take long for me not to believe in the Mormon church anymore.
Now, is that because the bishop didn't, you felt like the answers weren't very solid and
Yeah,
the
nothing made sense anymore now that I was introduced to like non-denominational Christian church, like no added texts, just Jesus, no Joseph Smith, no you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
It did not take long because I started asking questions with my bishop, like, okay, so are we saying that obviously we believe that you, the only way to the celestial kingdom is through Mormonism? And so are we saying that a faithful Christian, devout Christian, wouldn't go there? They have to be Mormon. And, you know, my bishop said, yeah, you know, that is what we believe. And of course, they have the opportunity to accept it in the next life.
Right.
Hence the thousands of dead people I baptized.
Yeah.
You know, and
we
confirmed.
We've just been releasing some videos about baptism for the dead and getting into the history of that. Yep.
And then so, yeah, I just started asking questions more like that. Like, wait a second, things are not adding up now. Like, the Mormon church is less than 1% of the entire population, and everyone else is just going to go to hell. Like, I'm so confused. Or not even go to hell, but just go to a lower kingdom because they're not Mormon.
Yeah.
And then I was like thinking, you know, it's a ripple effect. Once you start asking one question, then it leads to the next question just naturally. And then pretty soon, I did not believe in it anymore. And I was probably, that was as I was probably graduating high school, and I started wearing a cross. That was a big deal.
Which back then, that was a big deal, because nowadays,
nowadays they can wear them.
Mormons wear, which is crazy, right? Isn't that
crazy,
isn't that just,
Brian?
Yeah.
Do you know the amount of judgment and criticism I got for wearing a cross?
I know, it's crazy. And I'm telling you, Mormons will defend it and say, what are you talking about? What do you mean? What are we talking? Every former Mormon I talk to, now that they know that Mormons can wear crosses, their response is like yours. It's like, what? When did this start happening?
What?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. No, that was a very, very, very clear. I can still remember repeating. That's the thing, is like, there's so much memorization and so much like drilling it into your brain, certain sayings and articles of faith and songs and scriptures and about the cross. We just didn't want to focus on the death of Jesus. That's what we always said about the cross.
Yeah.
And now that I'm Christian, that is the whole point.
Well, that's the problem with a religion that has an open canon, essentially, meaning you can, you know, the next prophet can say something that just undoes what the former prophet did. So there's just, it's always changing. It's got to be so hard to keep track of like what is the right way to think about it or to say it. Even for the bishop, thinking of a bishop answering your questions, I think that would have been hard. I almost wonder what a bishop today would say to a 17-year-old girl who's coming in with these questions. He might be like, because I've heard this. I've heard people say, who've walked into Alpine Church, and say, how'd you find us? He said, my bishop told me to come.
Oh.
Which your bishop would never have said that back when you were 17. Right. So I feel like even in Mormonism, it's super interesting right now. We just live in this really interesting time, which is why this interview is so timely. Is we have so many people deconstructing Mormonism. And I think even inside Mormonism, even the leaders are starting to be confused about the messaging, if that makes sense, you know?
Yep. But my problem with that is, instead of doing something about it, they just change it. They change according to social norms. They wouldn't be able to keep people if they kept it the same. They wouldn't be able to keep people in the church if they kept things the same.
Well, that's true. Yeah, because too much is being revealed. That's what the whole, you know, gospel topics essays were about. There was hemorrhaging in the church because of the internet, and they were trying to answer all these questions, and it kind of backfired on them.
Yeah. Yeah. So I started, my friends were not happy about what was happening, and there were a few times where I felt very cornered and very attacked, attacked. Like, what do you mean you're going to a different church? What do they believe that we don't? And how can you answer about this? And what don't you believe in now about our church? And asking all these questions, and I didn't know how to answer them. because I myself was so confused and I didn't want to deter any of my friends' faith. So I didn't want to say everything I didn't believe in anymore because I didn't want them. I don't know. I just,
well,
it was so scary.
Yeah, it was kind of like you were in the position that your dad was in.
Yeah.
Now that the curtain was being pulled back for you, like you didn't want to ruin it for these people, but you knew, you knew, like you had seen the truth. Now you were still probably trying to figure it out, I'm sure, at this point.
Oh, yeah. I had no answers. Like like, what do you believe in now? I'm like, I literally don't know. I don't know. I know nothing about the Bible. But I won't stop.
Okay, so this was, it took about a year then, and you're still going, you're kind of going to both the Baptist church and the Mormon ward.
Then we switched to Alpine as a family.
Okay.
So we went from Washington Heights to Alpine, and my family was still living in Utah at the time. My brother was about to leave on a mission, my older brother. But my parents were still very supportive of that. And yeah, so he left on a mission, and while he was gone timeline is a little bit off. I remember while he was gone on his mission is when like we were full blown going to the Christian church. It was no more Mormonism. It was no more kind of like, we'll go to the Mormon church and the Christian church. So I remember we had to kind of tell my brother that, and it was fine. He actually ended up coming home early because he was in Europe, and he was like, I don't want to talk about Joseph Smith. Like, these people are Catholics. They are Christian people. They don't want to hear about Joseph Smith. Like, I just want to teach about Jesus.
Mm.
And he ended up coming home because it didn't align with him anymore. And so then we were just full blown Christians, but that came with a lot of challenges for me.
Socially or mentally? What do you mean by that?
Everything. Mm-hmm. Everything.
Maybe you can unpack that a little bit for our listeners, because I think it's good for them to know. Like, you would expect, I would expect that someone who just totally upends their whole worldview at 17, 18, like it's gonna cause some scars, right?
Oh my gosh. It was so hard and so confusing. And for a minute there, not a long minute, I even questioned, is there a God?
Yeah.
Like, is there a God at all? If this isn't true, what is true? Is there anything that's true? I was so confused. But I could take one look outside and never deny that there's a God. So that didn't last long as far as like the no God thing, because I don't know. I just have never questioned that there's a God. And I know that there's people that do, and every personality is different, but I just knew that there was. And so, but it was so confusing, because I'm like, if the Book of Mormon is fake or is not true, what makes the Bible okay? Why can I trust the Bible? And why is that true, but the Book of Mormon isn't? Because all growing up, we believed in the Bible only as far as it was translated correctly. So who's saying that this, like, why are we saying that this is now? It was always the true Holy Bible. But in my eyes, it wasn't. The Book of Mormon was the truth.
Yeah, because this is what you were taught for your whole childhood.
Yeah.
Into your high school years.
The Book of Mormon was the truth. And we honestly didn't read from the Bible that much. And if we did, I didn't trust it as much as the Book of Mormon.
Right.
Because I knew that it had been, quote unquote, translated so many times. So then now that I am exploring Christianity, I am so confused. And I don't know if I can trust the Bible. But I want to. And I had a lot of questions. And I think that's when me and Jason started coming to you more, and Tracy. And, you know, you guys started being our mentors, but there were a lot of years of doubt in the validity of the Bible for me.
Yeah. And I think that's we always tell people that's kind of the hinge pin, because if you don't have a source for truth, I could see how you would deconstruct. honestly. That's why it's really a miracle anytime someone coming out of Mormonism becomes a Christian, in my mind, because it's almost worse than someone coming out of atheism, because you were told to distrust the Bible, essentially.
Yeah.
And so...
And all of... Jesus is different.
Yeah.
And so not only was I questioning the validity of the Bible, I was questioning Jesus. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so it wasn't until, I would say, maybe even, I mean, that lasted a long, I never opened up about my doubts to anyone because I was so scared.
Which is a Mormon thing also.
Totally.
Right? Yeah.
Totally.
So that's another carryover from Mormonism.
Absolutely. Because I could go to you, I could go to Tracy and ask anything I wanted, and, or I could even literally do it myself and always come out the other side, and it was fine. But it was so scary to be in a place of like doubt and like verbalize that, because I'm like, well, my mom and dad are like Christian, way Christian, and my siblings are. Why am I the only one that's like doubting this? You know? But that wasn't until like a few years down the road. I would say I went very blindly into Christianity because I needed the foundation. I needed the structure. I needed the foundation. I needed something to lean on. And then like, I would say maybe 5 years passed and I was like, okay, wait, why do I read from the Bible? Like, where does the Bible even come from? Who is Jesus? Like asking these questions, like even years down the road from leaving Mormonism. And so I just started doing the work, and that's where I am now. I'm doing the work and I'm really liking it. I'm reading the Bible and like dissecting the verses to see like what Jesus meant when he said this, and you know, where was he at, who wrote this chapter or this book, I mean. And the more I feel like the more you know about Christianity and the Bible and where it came from, the history holds up.
Yeah.
The more I know, the more I educate myself and read and learn about who Jesus is of the Bible, and read the Bible and use outside sources, credible sources, to kind of like dissect the information and learn more, only has strengthened my faith.
Yeah.
It hasn't ever gone the other way.
Yeah. It's the opposite. I know that people might find this hard to believe, but it's the opposite of the Book of Mormon. The more you dig into the Book of Mormon, the more you find like all the like, wait, how does that match up? And how does that match up with this? And then doctrinally, Mormonism unravels on itself.
Uh-huh. And
with the Bible, it's the opposite. I found that in my life. The more I investigate, the more I find it to be true.
Yes, I find the same thing. But I was like too scared to do that for a while. I was too scared to like ask some of my hard questions and dig deep into the Bible because I didn't even know if I could like trust it. It was just, I was like, where do I even start? Honestly, where do I even start? And to be honest, I started reading. Have you heard of Frank Turek?
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah. So he is a good friend of my stepdad, actually, and I've met him multiple times. He's a really great guy, but he wrote the book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist.
Yeah, it's a good book.
Have you read it?
I haven't read the whole book through, but I've read parts of it, and it's kind of a pretty popular book out there. It's really well written, and it's helpful for so many people who would otherwise have deconstructed their faith.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I started. And then it was like, okay, now I'm going to read the Bible. And if I have questions, I think I asked Tracy, where can I go if I have questions about like a verse? And so like, I just have used those resources to kind of dissect the Bible more. And that's also great. Just meeting with mentors and like-minded Christians and not being afraid to ask questions has helped me a lot.
Yeah. That's the beauty. I mean, that's the difference between going to, I think, a pastor and a bishop. A bishop is going to probably discourage your questions, a Mormon bishop, and a pastor is going to say, there's nothing, like, read what you want. I'll even tell people, go to a Mormon church.
Yeah.
I want you to see it. I want you to see what they do. I want, like, don't be, You don't have to be afraid of that. I challenge people all the time to do that. And a Mormon bishop would probably not ever tell you to go to a Christian church because they'd be afraid you like it.
I know. I'm really surprised that some bishops are doing that.
Yeah, I don't know how widespread it is, but I do think it's a little bit emblematic of even some of the bishops now have started to believe that Mormons are another denomination. And so if that's what Mormons believe, I actually think that'll be the end of Mormonism.
What?
Well, because look, think about it. If the next generation of Mormons believes that Mormonism is just another denomination like Baptists and Lutherans, then isn't that going to free them up to go to another church? And how would they ever be able to compete?
So.
How would they be able to compete with a church that's got drums and coffee compared to what you grew up with in the Mormon church?
Yeah. Ooh. I think I would like to hope that something like that could happen, but when it's classified as a cult, which I'm saying that because I have friends like that in another state, when they found out I was Mormon in their school, they learned that Mormonism is a cult. It's classified under the cults. So that's what they learned. And so they had a bunch of questions for me, but I think that they have systems in place to keep them going for a long time.
Yeah, it's true.
Unfortunately, but yeah,
I think they'd have to morph quite a bit to truly compete with Christian denominations. I don't know if they want to, but I think that they'd have to morph quite a bit. I think they'd have to change more than just...
I mean, they already have. They've changed so much.
Yeah, I know. And that's what's crazy. So you'd think, where are these I guess that's where fundamentalist Mormonism comes from. It's like,
yeah,
these little offshoots, the mainline Mormon church keeps changing. And all the way back to the polygamy thing, right? So the fundamentalists were like, no, this isn't, we're not going to cave to what the government says. We're going to keep the true principles of Joseph Smith and Brigham Young. And then
they're actually the true Mormons.
Right. But they're smaller and they're nobody knows them because it's too crazy. It's not going to have a widespread appeal. Right. So the mainline Mormon church just keeps morphing and morphing, but there's so much doctrinal and cultural differences that are so much bigger than the differences between a Baptist and a Lutheran, you know? And so
the psychology behind it is so interesting to me because I often would get, oh, if your parents wouldn't have left, like you probably wouldn't have. And, oh, like, do you, you know, how, I don't know, stuff like that. And it's like, okay, yes, I would like to give my parents some credit, a lot of credit for opening the door for me. Cause I know that that's huge. That's obviously like what keeps people in as long as they are because of the family.
Right.
Honestly, I've had grown adults say that their parents wailed as if someone had died when they told them that they were leaving the church, enough for them to go back to the church based off their reaction.
Wow.
And so it's like the pull is so strong in the family. It doesn't matter what your age is, but at the same time, back to like what I have left, if my parents didn't, I would like to think that a door would have been opened or I would have had the strength to do it on my own eventually, you know?
Yeah.
But who knows?
Yeah, that's the points to the sovereignty of God. God used your parents questioning and having the courage to step out and still being gracious and not trying to blow up your world. But
yeah,
what a cool story that the whole family eventually came to see the truth of, and it really comes back to what you said earlier, is we just want to know Jesus more.
Yeah.
That's what we see. There's something about, I think that there are, in broad terms, two types of Mormons. I think there are Jesus Mormons, and then there are Mormons.
Yeah.
Joseph Mormons. And I really think, I mean, maybe this is just my own little theory, but I feel like the Jesus Mormons are finding their way to Jesus. So I'd like to think that you were a Jesus Mormon, and that maybe even without your parents having that discovery, that maybe you would have eventually found your way to you. There would have been a yearning and a longing to know Jesus and not just a religion, an institutional religion or Joseph Smith, but to really know Jesus. And this is, I think, what you're discovering.
Oh, I'm so grateful they did. It's such a journey. I'm so grateful they did. I wouldn't have married my husband. He wasn't Mormon. I wouldn't have, you know, it's just things aligned the way that they were supposed to. And I would encourage anyone else in the same position to do the same thing, as scary as it is, honestly.
So, Alec, what is, you've been super helpful and vulnerable and honest and everything. What would you say to the person, the Mormon who's listening to this, who's saying, oh my gosh, I was Alec. I am Alec. I can so relate to your story. What would your kind of last word be to them for this episode?
Do not give up on God. It is so easy to do when your whole belief system is ripped from you. Do not give up on God. Now, give yourself time, give yourself space. You know, everyone's timeline and processing coping mechanisms are different, but just don't give up. Do not give up on God. That is literally my only advice.
Thanks for listening. If you haven't already, please consider rating our podcast. It's a simple way to help us reach more people. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.